Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Cruz. Welcome to the LeadX Show, where we're helping you to stand out and to get ahead. Today, we're broadcasting live to our Facebook audience. And podcast listeners, if you want to be notified when we go live on Facebook, just go to LeadX Life and like the page and turn on notifications. Today is the weekly wrap-up show where we take our time. We get to rant about really anything we want. And we answer some of your questions. Of course, I am joined by LeadX editor Tara Millett. Hey there, Tara.
Hello, hello. So good to be here.
Yeah, for some reason, it's not a Friday yet. This goes, people will hear this on a Friday, but we're 1 week and a day, you know, earlier. It feels like a Friday to me, though, for some reason. I don't know why. Busy week, I guess.
This whole week has felt jumbled for me, too. Wednesday felt like Monday. Monday felt like Sunday. It was just a whole all over the place.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious because I haven't even heard this update. So we'll just do it live with our audience. The good thing is, you know, I think people know that a lot of our LeadX podcast interviews end up as articles on Forbes.com. And of course, we run them on LeadX, sometimes on Huffington Post and some other places. And we were invited by Inc. magazine, Inc.com, to be one of their writers as well. So I think this was the first week where we kind of kicked that off. So how's that all going, Tara?
It's been pretty good. You know, it's such an intense system over there. They have great editors and they have an amazing platform, but it's so different from any platform I've worked with before. So I can't help but be a little apprehensive whenever I'm like, can I click this button? Is that okay? Are they gonna get mad at me if I do this or that? But it was pretty funny. I was putting one of our articles up for Amy Cates, and you know, they had some adjustments and some notes and stuff. So we're going back and forth. And I feel like they got increasingly kind of a little impatient with me. But the funny part is that when we're interacting, I'm doing it as you because I'm logged in.
Because we have a Slack channel and that it's set up as me, right?
Yeah, it's set up as Kevin Cruz. So I'm talking to them and, I'm being courteous, but they're kind of like, it was just really funny. This one editor, she's so great and she was super helpful, but I could tell she was kind of like, okay, well now you need to try. Can you try and put it in your own words? And we want to hear from you. Wow. Like what's your opinion? Your human words, Kevin. Kevin, we want to hear your insights into this issue. And I'm just like, yeah, of course I'm going to try and do that. So here I am trying to figure out Kevin Cruz's insights on different topics so I can try and put them in your human words, as she put it. But it was really funny because the whole time I'm so tempted to be like, by the way, this isn't Kevin, but I don't want to blow up
their spot. Say just run with it. You know, it's putting on those personas, those masks, so you can channel, I don't know, you know, however you think it is to be me back at an editor. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this works out because our approach with Forbes and the other platforms is that the LeadX show is, except for the Friday show, it's about our guests and their message. So we sort of ask the questions, including some of the same ones, and then let their message come through. And that's what we've done. We've purposely sort of put our viewpoints away in these articles. And if Inc is saying, hey, we kind of want to hear your Kevin's voice in this, I mean, that is a little different and we'll have to see, you know, how that can work out.
Yeah, it's been interesting so far, but it's also been kind of cool because obviously you have your insights in the transcript. So I'm trying to essentially like take your words and then kind of transfer that into that. But it's been great working with other editors and kind of figuring out, you know, the Inc. platform, because it's also a very different audience. And I think that's interesting too, that Forbes is different than Inc. and all that. But so far, so good. But it's definitely been different. But I've been enjoying it.
Good. Now we're like I mentioned, we're recording this a week before it goes live. So actually Halloween is in a few days. It's next week. It'll be just a few days behind when this goes live on the podcast. You got any big Halloween plans?
You know, I've always loved Halloween, but I've never really had the opportunity to do like a big blowout. But I always love doing like pun-based costumes.
Oh.
Like, I think an old friend of mine went as Salt and a Battery. So we were a Salt and Battery.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, like a Like, I love those really good
costumes. Wait, these are politically incorrect pun costumes.
Yeah, I mean, assaulted battery is just a term. There's nothing, we weren't trying to say anything about it or that we liked it or that we admired it. We were just being, you know, that, you know, thing. But I love those kind of like those costumes where it's like a man in a suit with little like chickens taped on it. And he's like a chick magnet or whatever, you know, stuff like that. Or like a lawsuit where you just pin laws to your suit. I don't know why, but that's my favorite part of Halloween is seeing the pun based costumes.
Now, I don't think I have any reason to dress up myself this year. But if I need to go to some Halloween party someday, I'm going to ask you for recommendation. Like, you know,
please do.
How to do that.
That's the best way to go because then it's a super cheap costume. It's usually stuff you can find around your house or whatever. So, yeah, you could go as time management, maybe just have a bunch of clocks and then just be managing them or something and be like, I'm the number one time manager at this party right now. Boom.
Done. I think our listeners are groaning at the time management costume idea, but I don't know.
I think it could be part of your brand.
I have been thinking a little bit about Halloween because, as you know, I've been very jealous of your comedic chops and my friends who are trying stand up. And so I've been working on a little set for a little comedic set for Halloween. Do you want to hear some of it?
Yes, please. Are you kidding me?
So tell everybody like your background for people who don't know. Like, I mean,
yeah,
you know what you're talking about.
I did. I've trained in performance for a very long time, since I was about a kid, but I trained in New York at a conservatory and did a few courses in stand-up comedy. Believe it or not, those do exist. And then I did stand up in New York for about 5 or 6 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I did it off and on, and I definitely dabbled into sketch and improv as well. So I was a bit kind of in the comedic, you know, realm. I wouldn't say I was full throttle stand-up, but it's definitely fun. I haven't done it in a while, so I feel like I'd be super rusty, but...
Well, you clearly know good humor, so I'm going to try some of this out on you. So
I'm so excited.
What instrument does a skeleton play? A trombone. Get it?
Wow.
Trombone? Get it? Because skeletons are made of bones.
My time management costume is looking pretty good right now.
Why didn't the skeleton dance at the ball?
Why are they all skeleton based?
Because he had nobody to dance with. Get it? Nobody to dance with. Oh
that's very good.
This is good stuff, right?
It is. It's gold. This is it.
And because you want something other than skeletons, what kind of roads do ghosts haunt? Dead ends.
Wow.
And their favorite pie is booberry. Look at the laugh that got. Come on. I'm reading Halloween jokes for kids, which I don't know if kids will find it funny, but the adults that I read them to are dying in laughter.
They're almost so cheesy that they come back around to being really very good. If you lean into that, I think that's great. Wow.
Based on your positive feedback, I'm going to call up Lorne Michaels, say, hey, SNL, you know, I know you guys are killing it this year with all the Trump stuff, but they need some more talent. I'm going to bring my holiday jokes to them.
I mean, I think you're ready for Just for Laughs. I don't know what, aim for the top at this point. Booberry.
All right. So, Tara, I know we're going to answer listener questions in a minute, but we do Fan Mail Friday and also the iTunes review of the week. We got some of those?
We sure do. All right. So our fan mail today is from Livia. And she says, I enjoy every single podcast of yours. Love the content, the short format, and how you deliver each message. Thank you. I'm sure you hear from many people, but I wanted to send a quick appreciation note. Smiley face.
Olivia, we do hear from a lot of people, but not enough, like even more we want. So this is
awesome. Keep it coming. Yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
And our iTunes review of the week is from Appreciating K. Cruz.
Nice.
What a great username. So it says, I found LeadX while researching resources for college student leaders to take proactive action on their own leadership development. The breadth of topics and expert interviews makes this an incredible resource for anyone looking to provide the tools for self-development to others.
Very nice review. I like that.
Beautiful. Appreciating K. Cruz. Please reach out to us at info@leadx.org and send us your shipping address because we'd love to send you a little gift as a thank you for leaving that review. And a reminder to everyone, really, to go ahead and leave a review.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if for people who are watching on Facebook Or if you're listening and you haven't actually subscribed, do that. LeadX.org/subscribe. And over at LeadX.org, we are doing a free training video every single day, and we're doing a live free training every Friday. So check out the upcoming events. And I guess we're on to Q&A.
I think so. Wow, this is rolling so fast.
Good. I might have to break out some more Halloween jokes if we need to fill the time.
I think we're good. I think Booberry's the high note we want to end on. All right, so we have our first question from Charles, and he says, I am curious to know how you implement the 1% better every day with all the great information you learn, work on, discuss, and share with us. Yeah, how do you do the getting 1% better every day?
You know, we edited Charles' comment a little bit. He's saying, like, look, mathematically, it becomes like this huge improvement over the course of the year. Mm-hmm. And another one of our listeners actually did that exponential calculation. And you are like a bazillion percent times better by the end of a year, the way the math works out. Bazillion. Mm-hmm. But Charles and everyone, to me, I mean, that phrase, you know, 1% better every single day. I don't necessarily mean it literally. Like, I don't know how I would measure better in myself. You know, I try to measure my weight every day. Usually I don't like doing that.
Yeah. But
how do you measure yourself 1%? To me, the message is just about, like, rather than trying to make an overnight transformation, you know, I'll speak about myself, you know, instead of sitting on my couch eating Doritos all year and then saying, you know, on January 1st, I'm going to go to the gym 3 hours a day and I'm going to lose, you know, millions of pounds. Like, it's more about small habits, incremental changes, little changes, and sticking with it day after day. And so, you know, for myself, as it relates to the show, any little thing based on, you know, the interview, the guest book, I think is a great action, you know, and often we will end with a challenge of the day. So they might ask us to think about something. I'll think about it, or to try something. Maybe it's a tip of the day. I've got the benefit of having read their book. You could always take an action by buying their book or reading their book. So to me, it's just more about believing in continuous improvement. If we slow down, if we stop learning in this world, it's not so good. Someone's going to gun for our job or something else. So just always be getting a little bit better, one little action.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, it's not about getting 365% better every year, as much as that, you know, sounds pretty appealing. But I also like the idea. Yeah, it's all about incremental, slow, small changes that you can kind of consistently keep up with. So I think that's pretty great. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how you would measure that.
I don't know.
I also feel like the challenge of the day, I know everyone loves it and I do too, but sometimes there's a day or two where I can't do it, but I look at it more as like, well, if one really hits home with me, then I'll focus on that for even a few days, just kind of working on that. And then that feels okay too. So it's about kind of cherry picking what works for you too. All right. Next question is from Adrian. Says, as the only attorney within my company, I deal with all the legal and corporate matters pertaining to my clients. This takes most of my time and does not allow me to focus on the MITs. I have been trying to hire additional employees to take on the day-to-day tasks, but candidates I interviewed either lack quality or commitment. Are we expecting too much from prospective employees?
And this is from Adrian in Malta. And I'm not ashamed to admit, I had to Google map Malta because I wasn't quite sure where in the world. Would you be able to know where Malta is, Tara? Come on, be honest.
I probably couldn't pick it out on a map, but I have seen pictures of it. And it looks beautiful.
It does look beautiful. Yeah, I mean, Americans are bad at geography. I thought Canadians were a little better, Tara, but I don't know. Maybe we need to spend more time on it. And Malta is an island nation, like off of Sicily, like off of the boot of Italy, and it's beautiful. So I always love hearing from people from different parts of the world. And, you know, the interviewing candidates, hiring people, I think is the most important thing to do. So, Adrian, you're on the right track of like, okay, you can't do it all. You need to hire. You need to get other people to do some of it, whether it's sort of a form of outsourcing, you know, whether they report to you or not, delegating, outsourcing. It's the right move, and it's really, really hard to do. And I think that, you know, most of us would say with whatever job we're trying to hire someone for, you know, we don't want to just hire average. We want to hire someone who's like in the top 10% of their field. But that's in itself is hard. I mean, if I want to hire a computer programmer who's a top 10% Java programmer, well, then I'd probably better, you know, interview really well, at least 10 good candidates to find one out of 10, the top 10%. But if you add anything else, like I want a computer programmer who also is really productive and hits deadlines or, you know, writes clean code, is very organized. When you start putting other traits in, if you also want to hire top 10%, now it's 10 times 10 and you got to interview like 100 people to find someone who's top 10% in two. And the number one predictor of how good your talent, your new hires are going to be, is how many people did you screen? And a lot of people, so how many candidates were in the funnel? If you only get two candidates and you're like, oh, we're desperate, I got to pick one of them, odds are low that they're going to, that you, hopefully you get lucky. But when you get to sift through, say, 100 people, 1,000 people, and the best companies out there, I mean, they literally are getting thousands of applicants for every one position. And you don't interview them all live, but you screen the resumes, you do some automated assessments, you do some quick screens, and then you, you know, bring them into the interview. So when people talk about, like, are we expecting too much from prospective employees? I think you want to have high standards and probably realize that you've got a recruiting problem. And I tell almost every entrepreneur I know that I have this conversation, I accuse them of having a recruiting problem. And we all have it. It's because usually we don't have a full-time HR department recruiting firm sourcing those 1,000 leads. We don't have that global brand to get 1,000 candidates, you know, into our website. So Adrian, I mean, you know, rather than saying you're expecting too much, I would say just, you got to find a way to interview more candidates. It's hard. It's always going to be hard, but that's the secret, is to drive more applications.
You know, it's a really interesting concept too, because I'm looking at it as someone who, you know, was a job seeker not, you know, terribly long ago. And I remember this funny story that my boyfriend told me, that there was this great job that was going around online and tons of people wanted to apply. But in the job description, they said, we want 5 years for coders of Elixir, of that language. And Elixir has only existed for 2 years or something to that effect, you know what I mean? So you're like, oh, geez. And so there are issues in that respect where it's like, well, you have to know it, what you're looking for, and your expectations have to line up with what's possible, what's realistic. And also, you know, the idea that if you kind of reach for the stars with your job posting and someone fills about 80% of that, that's probably a pretty good ratio. There are things you can teach people too. So that's something that's good to keep in mind. But
that's a good point, because I always say, you know, all else being equal, sure, I'd love to have someone with a great attitude and the 5 years of experience in Elixir or whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, it's, the personality is more important than the experience or the skill. You'd rather have the right attitude and then train the skill, you know, hire talent, train the skill. I think it was Dave Munson, Saddleback Leather, and that episode aired not long ago. And he talked about, if you want, you know, an animal to go climb a tree, and I can't remember the ones he said, but, you know, a cat could show up, right? You could train it to go, you know,
it was the dog in the water. Yeah,
I'm thinking of another one.
Stick, I think
it was a dog fetching a stick out of the pond. That's what it is. I'll come back.
There we go.
So it's like, you could train your cat to do it, I guess. But when, you know, a dog shows up at your door wet already, you kind of know that's the one you want to hire. So it's the attitudes above all else.
Yeah, that was a nice little story when you told that. I like that a lot.
And I think we have one more, right? We've got an audio question this week.
Yes, we do.
Which, friendly reminder, just go to leadx.org/AskKevin, and you'll be able to ask your question out loud, and it will automatically send the recording to us. And that way we can play it and hear your voice on air. And heck, any way they want to, right? They could go on Twitter and tweet a question to LeadX Life. They could go to our Facebook page, LeadX Life. They could go to LinkedIn, LeadX Life. Pattern here, right?
There you go.
Questions.
Snapchat us. You know, we're everywhere.
Snapchat us. That's right. That's right. We would take that. Yeah. All right. So let me see if I can play this question. It actually is coming from a physician in Iran, which is cool.
Yeah.
I'm an emergency physician currently working in Iran, but I have many ambitions beyond emergency medicine, including some academic and research work that I do and some NGO activities that I have. The problem is that on one hand, I have a packed schedule doing shifts in the hospital and recovering from those shifts. And on the other hand, whenever I want to do something meaningful, I need some time to get in the mood. So the end result is that whenever I schedule stuff to do on my calendar and the time comes, I find that I'm not mentally prepared. Either I'm recovering from my previous shift or I'm preparing for my next one and I don't have the time to do them. So the end result is I start procrastinating. Any suggestions on how I can be more productive in the short slots of time between the chaotic shifts that I have? Thank you.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool question. I mean, we have a, you know, a high achieving doctor who's got a very full life and wants to do everything. And the great news is, you know, he said that he's already scheduling on the calendar, which is the key. Don't just leave it on a to-do list, but put it on your calendar. But he's saying, I'm doing that, but then I'm showing up and I don't feel, he's the word feel, you know, like doing it. So I procrastinate. And I think the emphasis, I mean, procrastination is usually a chronic habit that's more personality oriented. It means we're choosing to do what we want rather than what we should or need to do. And I don't think this is really a procrastination problem. It's sort of a mood. Again, I don't feel like doing it in these short sessions. And when it comes to attitude, you know, getting motivated, feeling motivated to do something, the big key that comes physically first, it comes from our bodies first. So it's tough to feel motivated if we're, you know, slumped back in our, on our couch, you know, sprawled out in a resting position and all those kinds of things. And so actually when you get to that time slot, if you're feeling tired, if you're feeling, I just don't want to do it, it's going to be hard, it's going to be boring, whatever, is don't try to like talk yourself in it. It's not about a pep talk. It's literally physically like stand up, stretch, take big, you know, cleansing breaths. They say motion drives emotion. And as your body, you know, as you, your shoulders, like literally you're standing up like you're excited and you're going to conquer the world, you know, that drives, you know, positive hormones and you will, your body chemistry will actually change. And now I feel really silly talking about the body to a doctor who knows way more about biology and the chemistry inside our body than I do. But Doc, I will say this is hard because it sounds like you're really working really hard and you should be resting and recovering. So I hope you're not over scheduling or jeopardizing your own health, doctor. But I would say like you need to physically get yourself moving to then take advantage of that little slot. And the only other trick, Tara, that I'm going to tell our friend in the audience is that there's a lot of times when I don't feel like getting on the treadmill, for example, that's my biggest one, or sitting down and doing a piece of work I'd rather not do. But sometimes I will psychologically trick myself and say, all right, you know what? I've got 20 minutes scheduled on the calendar. I really don't want to do this, but I'll just go through the motion for 5 minutes. I'll sit at the keyboard and just start typing whatever comes out of my mind, or I will just put the treadmill on 3.5 miles an hour and I'll just do it for 5 minutes. And then after that 5 minutes, usually I'm like, all right, I'm in the zone. I'm feeling it. Might as well go the 15, but I just make sure I start a little bit.
That's super interesting. You know, in acting school, they did used to talk about sometimes the most effective thing is outside in as opposed to inside out. So it's kind of in line with what you're saying. It's that sometimes you're just going to be mentally exhausted and you're not going to be able to talk yourself into doing a more difficult or involved task. But if you do a few jumping jacks, go for a walk really quickly, something brisk and fast, it might be enough to kind of tip you over to just do even just an hour, right? It doesn't always take, you know, 5 hours of constant work to really get to where you want to go. It can be an hour every 2 or 3 days, and that slowly does add up. But yeah, I never thought of that. I think that's a really interesting idea. So I hope he gets back to us too, because I'd love to, you know, hear how that goes for him.
Yeah, it sounds like he's involved in a lot of things and helping a lot of people. So anything that can help him, you know, stay motivated through would be great.
Excellent.
So who we got coming up next week?
Oh, we've got, it's the week of the Susans. We have Susan Baroncini Moe, who is an executive coach, author, speaker, and she also is responsible for breaking the Guinness World Record for the longest uninterrupted webcast, which is pretty cool.
Glad we don't hold that record right now.
Not yet, but look, you know, one wrap up's going to go real long one day. And she's also the host of Two Questions TV. And that I never heard of that. And I definitely want to check it out because she just asked two questions. And that's supposed to start the whole interview and conversation with her guests. And I think that's kind of super interesting. Then we have Rachel Cook. She's the founder of Lead Above Noise, and she's all about kind of micro changes that have the most impact in your life and how to kind of initiate that. So that's going to be really great. And Dr. Susan David, the second Susan, she's a Harvard Medical School psychologist, and she's going to talk about kind of the prevailing idea that to like fix our, you know, sad or frustrated emotions, we just have to try and slap positive thinking on it. And she's kind of trying to turn that around a little bit. So that's going to be good. And then we have Vernice Armour, the first African-American woman combat pilot in U.S. history.
Yeah, she was cool.
Flew a Super Cobra helicopter and is the author of Zero to Breakthrough. And that's going to be, I'm really interested with that one because I haven't gone through the transcript yet, but I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun week. And I'm just noticing, we didn't plan it this way, but all women leaders, women high achievers, and we strive for gender parity. It is really hard and we never promise like it's 50-50 or anything, but it is something we keep an eye on. And I'm just noticing that next week we've got great women leaders. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So friends, before we wrap up, don't forget to go to leadx.org/subscribe. Click that little subscribe button and then leave a rating. That tells iTunes to share our show with other people. So we want to build the family. Go to leadx.org/askkevin to submit your questions for the show. And Tara, we got through another one. You survived my Halloween jokes.
I did, but now I'm in the mood for a slice of blueberry pie. And I don't know where to find it.
I don't know either.
I will.
Chatting with you next week. But until then, remember, leadership is not a choice because leadership is influence. We are influencing people. We are leading people all of the time. Be mindful with your influence. Lead with intent.